There you go. News Talk 1620, WTAW. An attempt to recall Nancy Berry, Katie Marie Lyles, and Dave Rusink from their positions as elected officials in the city government of College Station has been active since late 2010. The recall election is scheduled for Saturday, May 14th. Early voting is going on through tomorrow. And to kind of give each side an opportunity to expand on this so that you understand more than maybe a paragraph or two in a newspaper article or a 30-second or 60-second commercial, we've asked the principals to come and join us, and they have all said that they will do that. So we're going to give up to a maximum 10 minutes to each of the individuals concerned to discuss this, expand on it as they see fit. We'll start this morning with the pro-recall group, and while there are any number of reasons that certain people might want to have members, the mayor or members of council recalled, certainly on the front lines of that is Timothy D'Alessandro. Timothy is active in the Welborn movement, but also speaks well to the other issues in addition to that. And I will say that I made efforts to find other people who would speak to issues other than Welborn, and quite honestly, I didn't find anybody else in talking to other members of the media who felt like the entire scope of this could be probably made clear to anybody any more efficiently than Timothy, so I'm going to ask him to speak not only to Welborn but other issues. Good morning. How are you, Tim?
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
You bet. This is more than just Welborn, but obviously Welborn has been a linchpin in this, so I want to give you an opportunity to talk about Welborn later. First, I'd like to try to identify some of the other issues that citizens have expressed that might have caused them to sign the recall petitions for some of these members.
Well, for some time on this council, there's been the citizens have had an idea that the council is just not listening to them. Katie Lyles, when she ran that she wanted to be more of a voice of the citizens on the council. But what we've had is when council members get elected, they start following the status quo. In the last four election cycles, the citizens of College Station have voted for reformers of that status quo. And what you have is a council of seven members. You have Jess Fields and Janet McMillan pretty much on one ideological side, and John Crompton and Dennis Maloney on the other, and the three members that are subject to recall in the middle. And so if they were actually the reformers that they ran on in their campaigns, what you would see is like a 5-2 vote that's more of a reform vote. But what we consistently see on this council is a 5-2 vote that upholds the status quo. And this is not what we elected. It's time for an institutional change on this council. We've tried this piecemeal for the last several years, and the council's not getting the message from the citizens.
So let's talk about some specificity then. What are the reform-type issues that you have heard?
Well, we can talk about specific issues like water features at City Hall and the Convention Center, and I'd love to talk about those things. But, let's talk about spending. You know, they are advertising the anti-recall people are advertising that they reduced the budget. Well, they had no choice to reduce the budget because the intake had dropped from $230 million to about $260 million to about $230 million in the budget last year, and so they had to make changes. But some of the changes that they made was deferring projects later on, and when you do that consistently and long enough, you end up with $90 million worth of water and wastewater that has to be done in a short period of time instead of being able to take care of that all along. But one of the other ways is they met the budget last year is they raised our taxes. They raised our property taxes from 43.95 to 44.75, but they also one of the things the city council says is that our taxes are low because of this ROI transfer from the utility fund. Well, that's an offset tax in, and they raised our utility rate 6% this year after having raised it 9% the year before, doubling our rates over the last decade. We have one of the highest utility rates in the state of Texas, and a good reason why is because it's a tax. And so our taxes are going up in an economic downturn. But the council, it just seems like they have deaf ears on projects like a water feature and projects like a new city hall. You know, we're all out here hurting and pinching our pennies and trying to figure out how to make it to next payday. And the council just doesn't seem to get that.
ROI is return on investment. A portion of the money that's taken in for utilities is shifted over to the general fund, so people understand that.
Yes, and that's a highly regressive tax. It hurts the people that are out of work and the people who are poorest the absolute most. If you're going to find a way to tax people, this is the absolute worst way to do it.
Okay. All right, let's start with the water feature. This is not the city council that agreed to the terms of the contract for the water feature.
But they violated that contract years ago.
Go ahead.
That contract was violated years ago. They were supposed to build this years ago. But not just that. They were supposed to build a water feature. The project that was envisioned and that was voted to move forward on is a water feature and a pavilion park, which is three times what the actual contract called for. And the O&M is 170, the operation and maintenance. The yearly cost out of your general revenue fund is $170,000, but 90 of that is for this pavilion that was not called for in the contract. And so to say that we had to do it because there was a contract is just not true.
Well, I was not part, nor were you, to any kind of negotiations between the parties, so I don't know how close we are to getting to the courthouse steps on this.
But neither was this council. This, you know, we're in an economic downturn. They never took any step to try to renegotiate this to see if they could save the taxpayers' money.
Okay, now, I understand what you're saying there, but when it comes to the water feature, I believe that members of this council, and I don't know that it necessarily includes all those who you're looking to recall, but they have worked with the developer to try to mediate this in some way, and also, I think, to try to bring down the O&M, the cost of this. I think generally councils do not decide to throw other councils under the bus, but again, some of this was already there when these members came to that council. Speak to that.
Well, as far as the water feature itself, no, the owner of the property has already said that the city's in breach. And I don't want to really get off into the woods on that issue because it's one of several issues. But I have not seen any effort for them to reduce the cost of this. But it's one by itself. This is one issue. The convention center.
Okay,
one
all right,
issue.
Let's move to the convention. Okay,
all,
so you got
it all built on. Okay. Well, they're saying, I've heard the mayor in a radio ad say that the convention center's been shelved, but that's not shelved, but that's not true.
Okay.
It's not true because, first off, we still own the land, which we pay twice what it's worth for.
Okay.
And secondly, John Crompton, in his last blog on the city's website, said that it's being reviewed by the Convention and Visitors Bureau, that we paid money to have this project reviewed. So basically, we're putting it on hold while there's a controversy.
Okay. Lyles was voted against it.
Yes, you did.
Barry was not on council when it happened.
No,
those two are just, you know, go ahead.
But it's an outstanding issue that we've just set aside while there's a controversy going on.
I don't know that they've set it aside.
Sell the land then sell the property.
Okay, I understand that. I would be more in favor personally of doing something with it until the market gets better. But nonetheless,
well,
I don't think you can fault Lyles for that, and I don't think you can fault Barry for that.
But it's something we want to keep from going forward. And right now, there's a wink and a nod, and it's on the table down the road. And so bringing it up as an issue is very important. And this is why this recall is very important. It's time for an institutional change in this council. And
okay.
If recall is not successful, what we're going to do is we're going to teach this council that they don't have to listen to the citizens on issues like this.
Okay.
And this is one of the things that I want to speak directly to the arguments against recall.
Mm-hmm.
People talk about the recall. It sets a bad precedent.
Okay, before we do that, I want to let's okay. go ahead with the city hall. Let's finish up, in other
okay.
words, some specificities. Okay, now the voters rejected the city hall in 2008, right?
In 2003, they approved it.
Okay,
I don't think there's been any new bond issue really since then.
No, okay. That now, I think that new office space is probably needed. Is that fair? Would you agree with me there?
No, I wouldn't agree
okay.
with that. I would think we need a hard hiring freeze. We have 940 employees. Costa Mesa, California, a city of equivalent size, has 200 employees. Now, mind you, they're not counting their utility people. But I think we need a hard hiring freeze. We don't need to lay anybody off. But what we do need to do is we need to reduce by attrition how much staff we have. The problem isn't that we don't have enough space. The problem is that we're hiring too many employees right now at a time when the city can't afford it. And you're talking about being fiscally responsible. Moving our employee base down from 940 employees to more like 700 would be the right thing to do in these economic times. And like I said, you can do that without laying off, but you don't plan a new city hall when you're planning on going to a fiscally conservative
okay.
way.
Well, I don't think there's a plan for a new city hall that's being acted
did
on right now.
Did they not just spend $100,000 to research it?
They researched, but at that point then, they decided they would not move forward on it at this time.
At this time, before an election. They spent money recently in the last 6 months to start moving forward to a new city hall down the road. And this was just done 3 months ago. So this is not off the table. This is something that's coming in the next year.
Well, you're here to express your opinion. I happen to disagree with you. I mean, I think you have to believe in people in the way that they vote. But let's move on, though, because we do need to talk about – I want to talk about – you've got 2.5 minutes left, so I want to give you that time, cede that to you as you see fit, to either flesh out the Welborn point of view or if they're just the total recall point of view.
Well, it's time for an institutional change on the council. We'll look directly at the Welborn issue. For over 2 years, the citizens of College Station were demanding a vote on this. In polls and opinion polls, both formal and informal, the vote was 2-1. The city council members that are under recall said they were doing what's best for College Station. My point is, what's best for College Station is what the citizens of College Station think is what's best for College Station. And there's a lot of issues that go into play there that wasn't considered by this council. And they didn't take this to a vote, because if they took it to a vote, they would have lost that vote. Annexation would not have gone forward if the citizens had been allowed to vote on it. I understand that recall is a contentious issue, but it's contentious because we, the citizens of College Station, were denied the right to input it. For 2 years, at any election time, the council could have brought this to the people. And they didn't bring this to people because they knew how it was going to go. And so that to me requires a change in how we do government. Our council has to be responsive to us. Our constitutional concepts from the federal level on down, the more local we get, the more government should be responsive to you. And taking 2 years to try to avoid listening to the people on this issue isn't acceptable. Sorry, it isn't acceptable to the council. Now, they're saying that it's a minority opinion and just a few people believe this way. 2,117 people signed Mayor Barry's recall petitions. And the vote was 2-1 on the Welborn, the opinion polls are 2-1 on the Welborn annexation. It's time that we start listening to our citizens. I would submit to you right now that in your audience, you're going to have two types of people primarily listening to us right now. People who are for recall, or people who 6 months from now are going to regret that they didn't support recall. We've seen this as an institutional issue with this council after council after council, where the people get on the council and they're not paying attention to the citizens. And right now we have an opportunity, a real opportunity, to change the status quo of this council moving forward, to make this a government that is responsive to the people, and to make it a smaller government that's a more most effective government possible. People have said that this sets a bad precedent. The city council is your employees. They should always stand ready for your evaluation. And at the moment that they don't live up to it, then they should go. The problem with the idea that if we recall them, it sets a bad precedent, is you entrench this idea that they can say that a politician can say anything to get elected, and then they've got 3 years to do whatever they want, and that removes accountability from the people. As your employee, that accountability should always be there, and your elected officials should always, at the top of their mind, have, what are my employers going to say about this?
Okay,
and
right.
You are the employer, so you have that choice.
We're at time. I want to give you, this is slightly off subject, I want to give you 30 seconds to talk to the question that some people did not fully understand what they were signing. They thought this was only to do with Welborn, Save Welborn, and it wasn't a recall.
That's not accurate. I've, over the last month especially, when we're talking to people and getting them out to the polls, I've talked to a good chunk of people on our list. I personally signed, I personally witnessed about 25% of the people who signed it. This was all explained to them completely. When I explained to them, I said, you realize you're signing a recall to move forward. And the people that we've talked to that are on our list are enthusiastic about it. They're enthusiastic about voting. I think you've seen that voting turnout is high. I don't think that this is an accurate statement.
Okay. If they want some more information, do you have a website they can go to?
SaveWelborn.org.
Okay. Timothy D'Alessandro, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.